Good morning. It is truly a blessing from the Lord Jesus Christ to be able to feel and to, I get goose pimples is running all up and down my arms right now. To be in a place where you don't have to guess. You don't have to even use your inner discerning spirit to be able to ascertain the spirit and the character and the flavor of a church. When you pull up on the parking lot, there is a presence of God that is present in this place. I felt it when I came here many years ago and was blessed to speak at a Valentine's banquet in the lower level. The spirit and the character and the content of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ was so evident to me. As a matter of fact, I got on the phone and I called my wife. It was so beautiful. Took pictures of it. Told my wife about where I was located. She couldn't be with me at that particular time. When I got home, I explained to her as best as I could the kind of people that God had blessed me to be a part of their journey to Jesus and the work of the Holy Spirit. I don't blow smoke at a lot of people, and when it's necessary to blow smoke, I try to get as much smoke as possible. But I want to blow some smoke at your pastor. And there is a word from God. I've never met him personally. The first time I've met him personally was in the parking lot. And I didn't know who he was until I heard his voice. For your pastor to allow me to come and to tarry with his sheep, it spoke volumes to me about the character of his heart, he and his first lady. So I'm very grateful to God to have never had met him other than conversation on the phone. Secondly, it speaks of what God wants to do in a church that would let God do what he wants to do. It speaks of the kind of people that from my travels in different parts of the country and some places outside the country, it reminds me of when I was in the Philippines and I saw a movement of the Holy Spirit of God in the Philippines, doing a crusade, 7 different stops throughout the islands of the Philippines. And when I got here, I sensed that God has something special that he wants to do at Bethel. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, First Lady, for helping to be the helpmeet of your pastor, your husband. You have trained him well. Thank you so much. This morning we shall endeavor to expose the uniqueness of the word revival. And we want you to jot some things down. And I will be standing right here checking your notes as you're walking out. Because I believe that every believer ought to have a Bible. The dusty Bibles, not your iPhone, iPad, eye, nose, eye, ears, and eye, throat, which I have all of those. So you can take those notes down. And if preaching shows up, good, but I plan to teach today about the nuances, the particular ingredients associated when revival spills over and spills through a church, jot this down, a church, and the word church is the word ekkaleo, E-K-K-L-E-S-I-A, ekklesia, and the word ekklesia for the word church, ekkaleo, it is the word that describes the dynamic of what God does when he pours himself into us, E-K-K-L-E-S-I-A, ekklesia, and the word ek means out of, ek, like ek, out of, to exit, out of. And then the word kalesis means to walk alongside. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the ekkaleo. It is the called out assembly of God. Now watch this now. Those of us who have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once we were not a people, but now we are the people of God. Once we had not received mercy, but now we have received the new mercies of God. Once we knew not of the way, but now we do know the way. For he said in his word, for I am the way, the truth, and the light, and no man cometh to the Father but through the Son. He is the gateway to revival. And then God invites us to a space and a place in time, during a season to which we're in today, of the turmoil and all the atrocities that are very pregnant in our country today and scattered throughout the world, it seems to me, as I look through history and get a historical panoramic view of revivals that have broken out through around the world over the course of time. I believe, beloved, that God is inviting us to a space, to a place, to come close to his heart as his people, to experience the freedom, the joy, the peace, and all of the fruit of the Spirit that God is wanting to pour into us and to say to the world, look what I can do for a church and a people who's seeking my face. Acts chapter 1 is, and chapter 2 particularly, is our study. In Acts 1, it opens up in a very simple way. It provides for us, it talks about, in verse 1, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. It opens up with an invitation from God to experience the clarity of revival and what God can do if we will only open our hearts and let him come in. Beloved, let me say this today for those who do not know this. This congregation has already gone through 21 days of praying and fasting. This congregation, from what I have been checking the temperature. I've called the pastor, I've called some of the leaders to send me information, to give me a tape. I've listened to the voice of your shepherd, the voice of your leaders. And for what I'm hearing, if we are willing, I believe that this congregation is on the very cusp of revival. Which entails that those of you who are here who have not experienced the liberality and the freedom that God wants to give you, you're in the right place. Then let's meander over to Acts chapter 2. And the Bible says, beginning of verse 1, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galilean? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthenian, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Beloved, I want to talk this morning from wrestling with this question, and I want you to jot this down. What does it take? What does it take to set a church on fire? What are the unique ingredients that are apropos and are necessary that will infuse the church, the ekkaleo, the called out assembly, those who have been called out of darkness into the marvelous light of the Lamb of God? What does it take for God to ignite a blazing firestorm, to wash away all of the dissent, all of the separation, all of the backwardness, all of the foolishness, all of the ungodliness, all of the separations of races and colors and creeds? What does it take to ignite a blazing revival? Then, beloved, jot this down. What kind of fire is there that every church needs? I'm so glad you asked that question. Beloved, I want to talk this morning from this thought process here, and I want you to jot it down, and I'll be checking the notes as well. And the subject matter goes in this manner: the fire that brought change. The fire that brought change. Colon, the fire that brought change, colon, a church on fire. Father, now may the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my blessed Redeemer. In the name that is above every name, the name whereby every knee shall bow, every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In Jesus' precious name we pray, and for Christ's sake. And every heart said amen. Amen, amen a second time. Amen. Amen just one more time. Amen. One for the Father, one for his Son, and one for his precious Holy Ghost. Take this hand out here. Take this hand and let's do this together here. Come on. Praise the Lord. This morning, beloved, I want to begin a process of sharing some things with us that I believe that God has already, from what I have been hearing, as to what is happening at this church. And I'm not bragging on this church or this pastor or the elders to whom I've been blessed to meet personally, individually, and collectively. I'm not bragging on this church because of the great music that gives me black goose pimples going up and down my spine. I'm not bragging on this church because of the incredible young people that are learning and growing and being developed. And I'm not bragging on this church because of the beautiful marriages and husbands and wives and families that I'm seeing. I'm not bragging on this church because of the older people. They're younger than me, but no, I'm really old. But the older people, that even the graciousness, and I'm not bragging on this church. I'm bragging on God. So what are the conditions? You see, beloved, in every transformational experience, there must be necessary conditions. You see, beloved, in order for God to really do what God wants to do, certain conditions must be right before God can show up, show out, and do what God wants to do in the heart of the people of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if these conditions are not present, it can hinder the work of God's graciousness. You see, beloved, God is a gracious God. And God wants to give us everything that we need. But can God trust us with the treasures that come out of heaven that he pours into the hearts of his people to set this community, to set this city, to set this state, to set this country, to set this world on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ? Let me tell you something. Let's do it together. Y'all ready? We're going to have fun. I don't like boring. I just hate boring. I just can't do boring. I am not a friend of bore. I'm a friend of fun. Okay? Let's do this together. Everybody go there. Once again. Do you smell the smoke? There must be fire. So what are the conditions necessary for the fire of God to fall? Not just in this congregation, but in your life, in your marriage, in your children, in your job, in your home, in your health. Did you not know that the fire of God has the ability to literally sterilize the conditions to which we deal with? to bring us to a place called peace and to give us a peace that passes all understanding. And when our understanding is understood, then our standing will be stronger in the presence of God. So, beloved, we want not just a beginning fire that starts here, which I believe that the fire is burning at Beit Ethel. Did you know Beit Ethel? Can you say Beit Ethel? The word Bethel is the Hebrew word Beit Ethel. The word Beit, which means house, and El means God. So Bethel is the house of God. That's the name of your church. So what are the conditions? First of all, jot this down. Don't miss this now. I'm watching everybody looking at papers. They got their pens out. I can feel it. Y'all just got those papers and pens and Bibles are going. I'm checking everybody out. I'm really scoping you out, okay? Number one, the people of God must be together. God is inviting us to closeness and intimacy. As we draw closer together, intimately, it isn't about economy. It isn't about position. It isn't about intellect. It isn't about race. It isn't about anything that seeks to divide us. It's about God bringing us together. And I've learned that when God brings us together, there are some things that happen in the life of God's people. Get this now. In Acts 2, verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together, watch this now, in one place. One place. One place. Now, what does that mean? That means that God had brought them to a place that they received this spirit of togetherness, this spirit of oneness. There was a comfort zone of God's presence because the Holy Spirit, Pentecost, that 50th day, God began to do something in the life of those people. And as the Holy Spirit began to move in such an incredible way, lives were transformed. From what I've been hearing about this congregation, I'm hearing testimonies about what God has been doing in this church. Is it possible that we are on the cusp of revival, of experiencing the joy of the Lord? Is it possible that God would send a revival that begins? Is it possible that God could actually send a revival that would trump the revival that happened in Kansas City when Mahone won? Is it possible that we are on the very cusp of revival? Jot down Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 and following. This is what it says. There is one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and one Father of all. So the litany of oneness, God sends revival to those who come together on the level playing field of life. He trusts us with his Holy Spirit when we come together as families, as individuals, and when we drop all of the disunity. And we come to this place, and we say, as the hymnologist puts it best, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, and I am the clay. God brings us to a place of togetherness. And where there is unity, there has to be the strength that comes from the Lord. And where there is cooperation at the spirit level, then God can trust that place with a mighty moving revival. You see, beloved, revival, jot this down, revival, renewal, and spiritual awakening will never happen in any church until there is a fire of togetherness burning in the hearts and the souls of the people of God. Do you smell smoke at Bethel? I smell smoke at Bethel. Repeat after me. It's time. Once again, it's time. Look at the person right next to you. Say, it's time. Look at the person on the other side. Say, it's time. To get it together. You see, God cannot elevate our altitude until he deals with our attitude. God cannot expand the scope of the ministry until he deals with the heart of the ministry. It's my contention, from what I'm hearing about the young people, I had a chance to hang out with the young folks. They're cooler than five cucumbers going sideways in a hailstorm. You got some cool kids, I tell you. I am not, they almost whitenized me. You get that when you get home. You get that when you get home. And the questions, they came to me and asked me, I had to pull out my Hebrew and Greek and Latin and all my thesauruses to be able to explain to them what they were asking me. This church has done a great job of honoring the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, that's the Baptist baby right there, yeah. They got a little African-American in them too, you know. Who knows? Yeah. So are you willing to begin to drop anything that hinders the work of the grace of God? Drop attitudes. Drop perspectives. Drop your ego. Or maybe even your shego. Or your migo. And all that stuff for God to trust a spirit anointed, God inspired, Holy Ghost filled revival that will sweep throughout this congregation and spill out into the hedges and highways of this community, and then metastasizes to the next level where it touches even Jefferson City. And God forbid, help us Jesus, that it even touches Washington, D.C. Beloved, it can, and I believe, Pastor, it should begin at a place called the house of God, Beit Ethel. And there it begins to see our country turn right side up. Give God praise and thanksgiving. Come on. There's a second necessary condition. And we'll save some of the other ones for tonight. So that means if you want to get all of the necessaries, it's necessary to have you necessarily here, necessarily on tonight to be necessarily ready. Amen? There's a second condition that's necessary for the fire of God to fall. Jot this down. The people of God must be filled with the Spirit's power. God's people must be filled with the Spirit of the living God. Now, beloved, there's two kinds of spirits, essentially. There is the Holy Spirit, and there is the unholy spirit. And in every church that's teetering on the edge of revival, there will be a wrestling match, Pastor. A wrestling match. Elders, where are the elders? Elders, raise your hand. Elders, elders, there will be a wrestling match. As you work to do what God say do, there will always be something in that water trying to pull you away from being a spirit-filled people. And that spirit is known as the unholy spirit. Go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Genesis 3, 1. And we'll see in Genesis 3:1 what happens when God's presence is present in Genesis 1 and 2 and the intrusion of another spirit shows up. In Genesis 1 and 2, God is doing all this dynamic work. He's creating. He got everything set up for Adam and Eve. The garden is set. Adam, Eve comes out of the side of Adam. He takes this rib from Adam. He builds Adam a bride. He gives Adam this bride, and he names her, and he calls her woman. For she was taken from my rib, from my side, not my back, not my head, not even my heart, but from my side. And the Bible says, he bara, he built, he fashioned. That's why ladies like to shop. He fashioned. Fashion. He fashioned, and then he gave Eve back to Adam, and he says, she shall be called woman. Dr. Tony Evans puts it this way, beloved. He says, it wasn't just woman. He said, wow, man. As a matter of fact, that's where I felt when I met my wife. She was looking for me, but I found her. You'll get that. And when I saw her, I said, wow, man. And that's been 44 years ago. and she's still training me. I'm not quite there yet, but I'm getting close, okay? Amen, ladies? Amen. And then, after Genesis 2, at the very cusp of Genesis 3, and it says this, and now the serpent. Revival can be hindered by the spirit of the serpent. Revival can be protracted when the spirit is removed and the spirit of oneness is spilled over into the body of Christ. So it's the Spirit's power that God wants to release. Get this now. Acts 2, verse 2. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled, get this now, the whole oikos, the entire house, the whole house where they were sitting. And the word oikos, it does simply mean just a house. It means everyone under the auspices of the control of the leadership of the person in the house. The whole house, every person, the slaves, those who are bond servants, those who have been liberated, everybody in that whole house was literally coming underneath the authority of the presence of God because God's presence was in that house. But don't miss this. Watch this now. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Get this now. Jot this down. Whatever you're full of is what you really are. Are you full of the Spirit of the living God? Are you full of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you full of the compassion of the work of the Holy Spirit? Whatever you're full of is what you will become. I believe, from what I'm hearing, the reports that Bethel Fellowship Church is not interested in being filled with the trash of this world, but this church desires the treasures that come from heaven to be full of the presence of God. So that as you go out into the hedges and highways, people can see Jesus at work in this congregation. And the unity and the oneness working in construct and concert with the leaders of the church, the pastor, the elders, working together, saying to the world that we are one in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, send a revival. Lord, send a revival. Lord, send a revival and let it begin with me. Now, Pastor, we'll continue this journey in our study as we look at the coming of the Spirit of God. But in my prayer time this morning, the Lord said, allow for some testimonies about what God has been doing at Bethel. So, Pastor, if you mind, could you come up, Pastor? I want to provide an opportunity with individuals, whoever they might be, to be able to share What is God doing at Bethel? What is God doing in your groups on hindrances? What is God saying? What is the Lord doing to encourage somebody? I didn't select anyone. I don't know who you might be. But I want people to hear, what is God up to at this great congregation? If there ever been a time, Pastor, we need it now. We need revival. Your testimony, your words, however God structured that in your heart, I want to leave that open for you to come. Could a musician come, if they will? I want some beautiful music as we just raise the temperature of the peace of God that transcends all understanding, so we can hear God speak through the hearts of his people. Lord, send a revival. Lord, send a revival. Lord, send a revival, and let it begin in the very heart of each and every one of his people. Father, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that there are those who have testimonies, that they would come and share what God said to them. This is a tender moment. Let us hear your voice, Lord. Help them not be afraid or be ashamed, but to come with peace in their hearts. And this might even entail visitors who have experienced God's presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor, may I say the mic is open? Could I say that? The mic is open. You come.
Sunday night and on the tile, and I was hurt, and I just prayed for God to heal me and Jesus to heal me, and he did. He helped me through this whole week. I'm here and nothing's broken. I mean, I went to the chiropractor because I was out of whack from falling, but other than that, I praise God. And I have another thing. I've been trying to be a witness to a young lady in Tipton, and she actually asked me this week to pray for her mother, because her mother was in South Carolina in the hospital. And I prayed and just interceded, and her mom got out of the hospital, and when she told me, I said, "Praise the Lord." He answered prayer, and I'm just really wanting her to come to Jesus. So pray for Courtney for me, that she'll come to Jesus. And I'm just thankful for this place. Just let the Holy Spirit move. God is on the move.
Father, we pray for Courtney, that she would come to Christ. We pray that the Holy Spirit would come into her heart and her life, that she would know that Jesus Christ can save her from all her sins. In Jesus' name.
I would just like to declare that revival has begun. It's begun in me. it's changed me. These Bible studies have changed me. I've been really convicted of my tongue and what I say and how I react to each and every one of you and how I love you. How important each and every one of you are to me. And I just want to declare that it's begun, because it happened to me. So.
Don't let the rocks cry out.
I was baptized as a baby, but when I was baptized here, I spoke about this, and I literally knew that there was a Bible, I knew there was heaven, and that there was a God, and there was Jesus, and I think they're the same person, because that's what people kept saying. But I've been looking back, and God was with me even before I declared him. And I look back and I laugh because Becky Lehman was a teacher of mine. And Mary Gerber played for me. That's not coincidence. And now this is my church home. During the Christmas program, there were a lot of other people outside of this church, and I felt so nervous singing, even with Jessica and Lamanda, so many times we've sang together. But it wasn't until I seen people in my church here, and I felt the love and support that I can do anything. And I think that's because I'm learning from each and every one of you, even if you think that I'm not. And I'm just so thankful for my family here. I'm not a very vulnerable person, and I think I get that. God, honestly, if you know my dad. Gone to this church all of my life, and all of you have seen me grow up. And the last year I've been sick and I've been angry. It's really hard at any age to be sick, but it's really hard when you're a young adult and you become a mom for the first time, and you go through all these things in life that are supposed to be purely joyful, and they end up not being purely joyful. So you harbor a lot of that, and you close yourself off because that's the safest thing at the time, it seems. And believe it or not, I was angry with God, even though it's not that we know this world isn't perfect, and we know that God doesn't just bestow illness on us for fun. But I'm here today, and I'm not gonna pretend that I'm be here every week. I may not. I'm not perfect, and I'm not never gonna be, but it takes a lot for me to get up here and admit that I've been angry, and that I have to open my heart, not just to God, but other people too, and that's really hard. But I'm here today. I've always had a difficult time with worry and anxiety, and so yeah, I want to see revival in that. So
Yeah, that's all.
Your testimony can be the very ingredient that a sermon can do it. A song can do it. But your testimony about the God that you love and you serve could be the reason why someone opened their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't miss your opportunity. I want to say how much I love this church and how much I love your pastor. First time ever seeing him in my life in person. I just had his voice. And his beautiful first lady, she came in and hung out with us as well. Y'all have a very special church. Very, very special. And when you have that flavor of specialness that God has given to you all, I say that because I'm going to tell you a secret that you promised not to tell anybody. Y'all promise? Everybody promise. You won't tell nobody. Everybody have. You promise. Okay, tell you a secret. I'm a black man. And as I scope the audience, God, is looking for a people who's looking for him. I fell in love with God a long time ago. 67 now. I love the Lord so much. And we need revival. We need it in our nation. And maybe, just maybe, God will park his car in our garages, look underneath our engines, our hoods, and give us a tune-up that we really need. Some of us need to be jacked up and as well as tuned up. And get over ourselves. I've been pastoring, I've ministered. And one of the things about pastoring and leading, you can't lead a great people without a great God. And I'm here to tell you that from what I have sensed and seen in this congregation, y'all got a great pastor. And this pastor has a great church. So let's both be great, both pastor and people. And let's just kick anything that's not of him out of here so we can do what God say to you. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness today? Come on, get a witness. Now stand on your feet, give God some praise and thanksgiving. Come on, give God some praise. Come on, right here, just like that.